621. This is the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Donald Trump, President Trump, sending Congress a $4.1 trillion spending plan, one that will eliminate the deficit in just a decade. Romina Baccio is with us, fellow in federal budgetary affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Romina, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so how does he do that? How does he eliminate the deficit in a decade?
It's a combination of policies. Overall, there are $3.6 trillion in spending cuts that are spelled out, of which about $1.7 trillion are to health care and mandatory spending programs, and the rest is on the domestic discretionary side. Okay. Those are your federal domestic agencies like education, agriculture, environmental policy. And then there's about $2 trillion in economic feedback effects. It's unclear how those arose.
So he's anticipating some kind of an economic growth based on this budget, is that it?
Yes, but they also assume that on the revenue side, so the president's tax plan is not reflected in full detail. Instead, they are assuming revenue-neutral tax reform, still pushing for lower rates, especially on the business side, and also on the individual side. But in terms of the numbers, they seem to just assume revenue neutral reform. So I must say that while I laud them for seeking to meet the goal of 10-year budget balance, I think had they included larger spending cuts and especially reforms to some of the biggest entitlement programs like Medicare, for example, which the president promised not to do and he upheld that promise, I think it would have built more fiscal credibility because Medicare and Social Security alone make up 40% of the budget. So if you're going to leave them completely untouched, you only have so much to work with. And so their economic growth assumptions are very optimistic and rely very heavily on their agenda being implemented.
Romina Baccio with us with the Heritage Foundation. So he's leaving those two alone, but the cuts include cuts for what in Medicaid, food stamps, and disability payments, right? That's part of
that is right. But when you look at the food stamp cuts, for example, those aren't just cuts. They come about as a result of imposing work requirements, and that's something that was tried in a number of states, most notably in Maine, where the roles fell precipitously, because once you ask people to do something in exchange for those food stamps, then certain people decide, you know what, maybe I don't need them that much. Others perhaps decide, if I have to do something, I might as well get a job. Mm-hmm. And so you do see a reduction in spending there that doesn't come from cutting anybody off. Everybody is still eligible for food stamps, but you have to do something in return. When it comes to the disability reductions, those come about as a result of different policies to encourage more labor force return among individuals with marginal or temporary conditions. There was a proposal in the Congress.
How do we encourage them to do that exactly?
Yeah, so if you look at other countries, they have a needs-based or temporary benefit that is based on the individual's specific condition. So if you have a severe fracture that the doctors are estimating it will take you 18 months to 2 years to recover, then you will be on a temporary benefit and you will be reevaluated at the end of this term, and then it will be decided if you will continue to be eligible or not. Right now, we practically have a permanent program, and believe it or not, the way that the Social Security Administration checks if you're still disabled or can go back to work is they literally send out mailers with check boxes. So I have a feeling not a lot of people check, I have recovered, please take away my benefit.
Do you think this will make it through Congress?
So the president's budget never really gets enacted. That's not the purpose of it. Congress still writes its own budget. We expect to see the congressional budget at the end of June. Rather, this is a visionary document that lays out the president's priorities and sets the framework for budget negotiations later this year.
Fair enough. You say, Romina, that really he should be considering cuts to Medicare and Social Security also. Is that what you were saying?
yes, I think this is especially important to reduce the cost growth in Medicare, and there are ways of doing that without sacrificing access or quality to care. You can actually improve both.
Yeah, how do you do that?
One proposal is called Medicare Premium Support. The idea there is that you use what's working in Medicare Advantage and you expand that over a larger population. Instead of the federal government acting like a major health insurance company, you get private companies in there and do that more efficiently. And our congressional budget scorekeepers have found that those proposals would lower costs for beneficiaries in the form of lower premiums and also for taxpayers. So they are a win-win. We just need to get the federal government out of the way. Mm-hmm. Other proposals ask wealthier individuals to pay a larger share of their Part B premiums because there is about an average subsidy of $5,000, even for the highest income earners. And those Part B costs come out of general revenues. They don't come from payroll taxes, so we should ask higher income earners to pay for more of their Medicare, but we also shouldn't be locking them into the federal government system. They should have choices among private providers, just like they have in Medicare Advantage.
Romina, do you think that we'll see anywhere near the same cuts in the congressional version of the budget?
I think the congressional version will look very differently. In fact, in the past, the size of the cuts has been about the same or actually larger, because if you look at the House budgets, they did implement Medicare reforms, and that's where a lot of the money comes from because Medicare is growing so rapidly. I mean, just Medicare, Social Security, and interest on the debt, they alone drive more than three-quarters of our spending growth in the next 10 years.
So those are
the programs you need to address.
You expect them to address, the Congress to address those programs in their budget?
I do expect Congress to do what they did in the previous years and to support reforms to Medicare. I would be dismayed if they shied away from that because the president didn't choose to do so in his first budget. But the problem is if you don't do that, then you have to rely on economic growth assumptions and engage perhaps in some budgetary gymnastics in order to make the numbers work.
Yeah, you said in his version there's $2 trillion of growth assumptions. And that, what, did you say that you're not able to really figure out where he's getting the numbers from?
So there's $2 trillion in economic feedback effects, and there's no details provided as to how these come about. And then there's also a tax reform plan that is supposed to result in a revenue-neutral outcome, meaning no reductions in tax revenues despite tax cuts. So are you using economic growth twice there? I think that's a question that the administration will need to answer.
Sounds like you're not really buying it yourself. Is that right?
I think that the goal of trying to achieve 10-year balance is laudable, but I do think it needs more in terms of spending cuts. There needs to be more meat on the bones in order to establish a fiscally credible plan that can bring about long-term balance.
And we're not even talking about knocking down the debt in any way, right? This is just balancing
the budget. So according to their numbers, which include those economic growth feedback effects that I talked about, they are saying that their budget will reduce the national debt down from the 77% of GDP to 60%, which is the level at which the EU, for example, says that is more sustainable. Our historical level is more in the 34% of GDP range. With long-term reforms, we can certainly get there. But I think that what this budget has, it has a good start. It cuts down on the size and scope of the federal government by cutting domestic spending.
And I should note, Democrats are already attacking it. So we'll see where we go from here. Romina Baca, fellow in federal budgetary affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Really insightful information there. Romina, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll get reaction about the Manchester attack next.